Chapter 4. Familiar Face. So how do you two know each other? Phil asks once they're all settled in the living room. A cup of tea warms Tubbo's hands. The smell of cinnamon is heavy in the air. It's his favorite mug, a green one with a chipped handle, and he traces patterns against the clay. He stares at the steam billowing through the air instead of Phil, instead of Techno, leaning against the wall, or Wilbur in his pinched expression. Tommy kicks at him when the silence stretches. The only light in the room comes from a flickering lamp, and the sun has nearly set. Technoblade had still asked for coffee, despite the time. Tubbo says. His mind goes blank. A club. A club? Phil asks. Yep. Tubbo tries to make eye contact with Tommy. He's pointedly looking away. We're cosplayers. A cosplaying club. Right, Techno? Technoblade shrugs. I'm just here for my bomb. Wilbur chokes on his drink. You're what? Technoblade takes a swig of his coffee. It's scalding hot, but he doesn't even wince as the quiet suffocates them again. Wilbur has turned his attention away from Tubbo, taking in bright pink hair and tired, sharp eyes. He's absently rubbing the sleeve of his sweater, but his expression is calculated, thoughtful. And despite everything, Tubbo wants Wilbur to look at him again, to know some of the anger that thrums through his bones. I'll get you your bomb, Tubbo says to Techno, but he's watching Wilbur. He's watching Phil, too. And when he drinks his tea, it tastes bitter. Chill. I feel like we've missed a few chapters, Wilbur tries. Tubbo flashes his teeth. Wilbur and his honey-warm eyes and calloused fingers. Wilbur and a family that never was. It's more the channel. It's always been more than the channel. And there's a reason he's been avoiding them. He's fucking pissed. And Tubbo is not allowed to be angry, so he bites back a retort. So why are you too close, anyway? Tommy asks Techno with a cough. Did he try and kill you or something? Phil makes an offended sound. Technoblade scoffs. He's my college tutor. We're old friends. Wait, you're actually a fucking college student? Technoblade sighs. Wilbur is looking wildly between all of them, confused, and Phil bites back a laughter. It swells like music for the space, through well-worn couches and knick-knacks. And for a second, it almost feels normal. For a second, Tubbo almost forgets. Everyone needs an education, Technoblade drawls. Just because I'm a demon from hell doesn't mean I don't qualify. Gods. He heaves himself up and Wilbur's jaw drops. Phil doesn't look surprised, though. He only takes Techno's mug and offers a cheery, come back sometimes, mate, as Technoblade retreats to the door. You're a what? Wilbur starts, voice high-pitched, before Techno cuts him off.
Just put the nuclear bomb in your mailbox, kid. I'll pick it up later.
Put fucking what? But the door slams, and Techno is gone. Wilbur is left to sputter, and Phil calmly refills his tea, patting his curls. Tommy finally breaks, doubling over laughing. Tubbo cracks a smile.
Techno's always like that, mate, Phil says. You should see his reaction to calculus.
And Tubbo missed this. Gods, he missed this. But it won't last. He doesn't belong. So Tubbo slips away among the chaos, leaving the Watsons and their perfect family. He retreats to Tommy's room and ignores Rambu's sigh from the shadows. It's better this way. It's better to be distant, because maybe then it'll hurt less, when it all comes crashing down. Maybe they'll stop mattering so fucking much.
Wilbur says something in response, shrill, but Tubbo shuts the door with a click.
Why'd you fucking leave? Is the first thing Tommy says when he returns to his room. It's only been about 10 minutes. 10 minutes of staring at the clock, the ceiling, ignoring Rambu's attempts to get him to go back down there. But it feels like ages. And some part of him is darkly satisfied that Tommy left Wilbur and Phil for him. Some part of him basks in it, even as Tommy stomps towards him.
You know why I left, Tubbo says,
and that should be the end of it. But Tommy doesn't fall back on the bed of him, forehead pressed into his shoulders. Tommy doesn't steal his laptop, pulling up the weirdest memes he can find. Instead, he just stands there. Throwing his hands up in the air, he tugs at his hair.
"What if I don't, Tubbo?" he hisses. "What if I don't know why you've been such a dick lately? What then?"
He blinks.
"Ender, Tommy, calm the fuck down." "And that fucking bullshit right there! Ender! You've been hanging out around that demon bitch instead of...
"Instead of who?" Tubbo says through gritted teeth.
"Instead of the people who fucking betrayed me?"
"Well, at least we haven't left like you," Tommy says flatly. Tubbo can only gape. The boy in front of him is nothing like his laughing, electric best friend. He's all sharp edges and cold eyes, ice and hurt lacing his words. He doesn't care. Tommy doesn't care. And the Watsons were the one to leave first. The moment they kicked Tubbo from the channel was the moment he knew he'd never be part of their family. But the anger in his chest chokes out the thought. Tubbo can only shake, clenching his fists. The accusation hangs in the air.
"Look who's fucking jealous," he sneers after a beat. "Now you know how it feels."
I'm not fucking jealous," Tommy snaps.
"I'm sick of seeing you distance yourself from us, from me."
"I'm happy," Tubbo says flatly. "You're just pissed I finally managed to be without you." Tommy stills. He doesn't say anything in response, and Tubbo is left shaking with anger and something like grief. They don't talk about these things. They're supposed to be fine. But the seams are fraying, and Tubbo doesn't know what to do when his best friend looks at him like he's a stranger. Tubbo is about to apologize when Tommy turns away.
"Look at yourself," he says quietly. The words drip with venom. "Look at yourself.
I thought you said you were better, but all I can see is the same angry fucking person. How about you go drown yourself in liquor like your dad, huh? Maybe then you'll learn to actually stand yourself."
"Fuck you," Tubbo chokes out. "I wish I never met you."
And then Tommy slams the door, and he's gone. Tubbo is left sitting on the bed, head reeling. Those words echoing in his head. Ranbu is saying something. But Tubbo can't hear anything over the static. The chorus of, "Look at yourself, look at yourself, look at yourself." The same person. The same fate. Sometimes he does want to take out a bottle. If only because he knows it stings. Sometimes the kindness almost hurts more, because it always ends the same. "Ranbu," he says. Emptiness claws.
"Tubbo, are you..."
"Ranbu," he says. "Leave." And amidst the sputtering, the promises they'll never leave, that they're friends, he tugs on that weight between his ribs. A deal goes both ways. It isn't Sunday, and when Tubbo opens his eyes, Ranbu's gone, pushed away by the very bond that unites them. It's better this way. He climbs through the window, and Tubbo doesn't sleep. His idea grows like weeds in his heart, and he drops the bomb off in his mailbox on the way. It's a mess of wires and wish-shaped metal. Not quite nuclear, but dangerous still. He doesn't even care what Techno will do with it. It doesn't matter, because his mind's on other things. Underscores aren't fucking cowards. Tubbo looks at himself, and he makes a decision. Tommy returns to an empty room. Calls go unanswered. And the sun sets to turmoil. And so it starts like this. There is a boy and his father in a sagging, sunken house. There is a boy who goes to sleep cold and believes in ghosts because anything, anything, is better than the ice creeping over his heart. With beer bottles instead of paint-smeared paper, they are not family. But they are connected through blood, through violence, through the slope of their face. When one hits, well, it should only be expected that eventually the other will hit back. Sometimes the make-believe is better than the reality. Sometimes children's tales are better than blood under your nails. They are not family. But sometimes, Tebow looks in the mirror, and he can't help but wonder. His best friend's words echo through his mind, and it's the truth. He's never been one to ignore the facts. It starts like this. A boy grows, and vengeance grows with him. Flowers spout from broken bodies, and it isn't enough. He lives, and it isn't enough. So it goes beyond. The sunken house turns into a warm, soft place with his foster mother. But it doesn't matter. Connections don't fade under the dirt, under death. He goes to the graveyard, and it is home more than anything. His father is dead. It isn't fucking enough. His father lays rotting under his feet, but it's Tubbo that feels like he's being destroyed from the inside out. His skin itches, sliding off his bones, and he's more corpse than living. He's more monster than human. It starts and ends in a graveyard, with one last petty, desperate move. It's Saturday. Tubbo heaves up a bag, bursting with paint and blood and candles, and gets to work. The moon is full in the sky, and he works by its limited light, as frost creeps over grass. His fingers are stiff but steady. The cold is so sharp he can almost taste it. It is a night that should be all warm bed and blankets. But Tubbo has never been satisfied with doing things the easy way. Spray paint stains his hands, blood along his palm. He crouches among the dead. Lost too early, etched into a gravestone. The iron fence creaks and groans like laughter. Tubbo smears red over the letters as he makes the circle. Lost. Everyone's your enemy, kid, Schlatt has slurred. Everyone's a fucking fight. And his father had failed. His father had choked on his vices and keeled over, but it was a hollow victory. And Tubbo's not one to leave things half-finished. Standing, he surveys his work. It is the result of hasty Google searches and a notebook of sketches he never thought he'd used. But it'll do. It will do just fine. And Tubbo walks around the grave until he stands just outside the line. Lighting the candles is a difficult process, but he was always good with matches. He makes do. He starts to chant. Caro et sanguis et os red creature, he breathes. Adi vocum miem. Thunder rumbles. It isn't raining. Ash stirs in the air, dancing between his arms, and the candles only grow brighter. The circle lights up a sickly color, the yellow of a half-healed bruises and rotten apples and whiskey spilled on the floor. The words keep coming. A chunk of Schlatt's grave breaks off, crumbles to the ground, and Tubbo's heart pounds. He feels alive. He feels completely, solely alive. And the thoughts of Tommy and the Watsons fade away. Adi vocum miem, he laughs. Adi vocum miem. An ear-splitting crack, and all at once the lights blow out. The resounding silence rings like a hymn in his skull. His breathing is heavy against the curtain of night, and smoke fills his lungs. There's something charged in the air. Something weighted. He strains his eyes, and a shape shifts from within the circle. A shape shifts from within the fucking circle. A laugh. A familiar laugh. Seeps like poison into the night. Hey there, kid, a voice says. Look who decided to pay dear old Pops a visit. Tubbo freezes. A pause, a breath, and I'm going to kill you, he murmurs. The shape staggers, swaying before raising his head. The moonlight catches on a face, and then a lazy, too-wide smile. The suit he was buried in is tattered around the arms, cheap fabric for a cheap man, and he throws his arms open. He laughs, head thrown back, and flashes those rotten teeth. Again? His father asks, stepping forward. He's toe-to-toe with the line, and his heart lurches. But he's long grown used to hiding the fear, hiding the weakness. Underscores aren't fucking cowards. and even though the words taste of nightmares and grief and sleepless nights, he squares his shoulders.
"You're gonna kill me a second time, huh, Tebow?" Schlatt croons, reveling in the words, but Tebow does not flinch.
He blinks rapidly. Blood rushes in his ears.
"The alcohol did you in," he says. The sentiment is weak even to him.
"I was drunk, kid, not delirious." Schlatt paces a circle. He smells the whiskey even now, but it does not quite mask the smell of rot, of dirt. Laughing again, he careens toward Tubbo, shattering bottles, swinging fists.
"You watched me die, and you did nothing."
A body collapsed at the bottom of the stairs. A hand, limply holding a drink, hazy eyes and rasping words.
I think I'm having a fucking heart attack,"
he had giggled.
Call the fucking police."
And Tebow stood over his father, and found he did not care. He went to sleep.
He went to sleep.
"Shut up," Tebow says, voice shaking. Schlatt leans forward.
"You're a monster, kid. Like father, like son."
He stepped over the corpse to get breakfast. He didn't know.
"Shut the fuck up,"
Tebow hisses, and he finally pulls out his knife. His hand is shaking lightly. He forces it still, as he brandishes it at his father. His smile hadn't faded. If anything, he looks more elated at the threat, more smug.
"And now you're here alone,"
Schlatt says, quiet, leaning forward until the blade is level with his neck. Ash is still astir in the air, and it clogs Tubbo's nose, his eyes.
"They must have realized how fucked up you are. It's pathetic."
Tebow stares with dead eyes. It's like he's 13 again, sneaking out and avoiding his house like a plague. It's like he's 10 and used to sleeping hungry. Like he's 8 and wishing his dad would come back. The man in front of him is not his father. But he is. He is more than anything. And it's his face that haunts his mirror.
"I'm going to kill you,"
Tebow says again, because what more is there to say? He has grown up into the very person he hates. He has grown up, and he has grown wrong. And it's no wonder Tommy snapped. It's only a matter of time before the rest of them realize. Killing the ghost of his father won't fix anything, but, well, maybe it will help the anger in his chest, the rage that tastes a little too much like grief. Schlatt grins, and the tang of alcohol is familiar. He is not a man to be mourned. But Tebow does. And he hates it. Hates it, loves it, regrets it more than anything. There are too many emotions that line his bones. And if there's one thing Schlatt taught him, it's that coping looks a lot like violence.
"Do it, then."
Schlatt, his dad, laughs. Tebow lunges with the knife. Paramedics and sirens and questions, and Tebow doesn't cry. He doesn't cry when they pronounce him dead. He doesn't cry when he's led away with gentle words. He goes to the funeral, and it feels like he is buried too. Dirt and blood and faded bruises, and he's met with empty air. Tebow swears, tumbling to the ground, and bangs his elbow on the grave. And Schlatt isn't there. Schlatt has disappeared, and he looks around wildly.
"Well,"
a voice says from behind him. Tebow stiffens. "That doesn't make sense. That's outside of the circle."
"I'm impressed, kid. Didn't think you'd have the guts."
Tebow turns. Schlatt looms over him, and he's outside of the fucking circle. Tebow pores over the rules for summoning a ghost numerous times. Everything was flawless. He made sure it was perfect. But Schlatt still has the upper hand once again. Just like he always did. And the grin on his face shows he knows it. He scuffs a shoe against the paint as Tebow shakily stands up.
"Pretty impressive, all things considered," he says.
"If a bit fucking offensive. You didn't really think I'd end up as a simple ghost, did you?" Laughter echoes. His eyes flash a sickly yellow, and Tubbo's heart drops.
"Now, as much as I love the whole angsty teen bullshit you got going on, I think fair's fair. Isn't that right, Tebow? You kill me."
Schlatt steps forward. They lock eyes, and the moment stretches. Tubbo can barely think through the whirlwind of emotions in his chest. But he knows that look, grew up with that look, and it freezes his blood cold. "I kill you," he says, deathly quiet, and he moves. "Shit," Tubbo breathes. Then he's ducking away from a blaze of yellow fire. It hits Schlatt's grave head-on, and Tubbo watches as the stone itself seems to melt. The flames eat away at the grass next, his discarded bag and that useless fucking spray paint. But then he's dodging again. Schlatt laughs, his face aglow in the firelight, and it's like he's a kid again, a hopeless, useless fight. Tubbo is going to die. It's Saturday. He's going to die, and it's all his own fucking fault. "You got any booze in that bag of yours?" Schlatt asks over the crackle of flames, and Tubbo bares his teeth. "Go fuck yourself," he snarls. This time, when he tries to dodge, he collides off a tree. Iron fills his mouth, but there is no respite. So Tubbo just spits blood and ducks behind a grave, already charred black. Smoke is heavy in the air now, and Tubbo's wheezing, coughing, against its weight. "Can't hide forever, kid," Schlatt sings, and Tubbo knows he's right. But he's a fucking survivor, and he will not go down without a fight. So their dance continues, one of ash and fire and ruined, bloody childhoods. His breathing worsens as the smoke settles in his lungs. When Tubbo collapses, it's not even the fire that gets him, but his body itself. The fire is spread like rot through the graveyard. Great chunks of grass are but blackened earth now, and stone lays crumbled on the ground. Trees reach writhing, burnt fingers into the sky, and it's a wonder the police haven't been called. It's a wonder that flames haven't curled up that hill where this clusterfuck started months ago. He stares at the hill now as Schlatt walks closer to stand above him. Rainbow's presence in his mind is still locked up from the Watson's house, but it's fluttering like a heartbeat again. It's still there, despite it all, and Tubbo stares. He thinks of quiet nights and blossoming friendships, of deals, of jokes, and an idea sparks in his mind. A shoe nudges him in the ribs, and the yellow light settles over his skin. There is no regret on Schlatt's face as he holds a handful of fire. There is nothing like the nightmares Tubbo suffers. No love or forgotten kindness in his eyes. It's his father. And Tubbo missed him, against all odds. But he does not want to die. "Any last words?" Schlatt grins, and something like peace settles in his chest. "Yeah, what time is it?" A blink. The fire lessens, confused. Around midnight, why? And Tubbo smiles. "Then happy fucking Sunday, bitch." And he reaches into his soul and pools. Rainbow is there in an instant, and they're taller than Tubbo's ever seen them. Their eyes are not their usual red-green, but purple. Dangerous. Void and space and all things unholy leak from their skin, and their jaw unhinges with a snap. "What the fuck?" Schlatt says, but he looks smaller now. Rainbow's clawed hands find Tubbo's. And maybe this is home. Not a graveyard of the past or the hatred in his skull, but this. Rambu hums, and it rings true. Rings right. They are separate, and then they are one. And minds collide like ships. They've always been better together. Sunday dawns. They are made anew. Tubbo stands. Fire is thrown at him, but it slides like oil from his skin. Rambu's mind is like a twisting sea. Worry and despair, and not alone, not again, please. And Tubbo lets fire soothe ice. He lets the ice say, "You are not alone, you are not him." And Schlatt had said they left. But Rambu is here. Rambu is here, and he's fucking pissed. Whoa, we can sort this out, Tubbo," his father says. And the void whines with promise as he scrambles back. Tubbo's in control, and fuck. It feels good. "I'm your dad, remember? We're fucking family, me and you. You wouldn't kill me again, yeah?" Schlatt falls, sliding to the ground. And they are family. Tubbo grappled with that a long time. But as the anger rises, the fear of becoming a monster, Rambo is there, and his mind shows gentle hands and quiet kindness and love. Days of drinking coffee and laughing over their stupid pranks. Tubbo is not alone. He looks at the man in front of him. He hates him more than anything. Loves him, despite it all. It doesn't make sense. But these things rarely do. And maybe he's ready to try and move again. Maybe he's ready to leave this place behind. To live. To apologize to Tommy, to try and awkwardly get along with the Watsons. Right now, Tubbo feels invincible. And it's largely because of Rambo. But it still gives him the strength to stop. To hesitate. "Come on, Tubbo," Schlatt says. "Come on." And he could kill him. But Tubbo looks at the demon, the dead man, on the ground, and decides he's not worth his fucking time. A nudge of cold, pride, and purple rises. Schlatt is babbling something he doesn't bother to listen to. And then he's gone, once and for all, and the graveyard is quiet besides the crackling of fire. Rambo pulls away, and Tubbo's knees give out. "Ender, are you okay? I was so worried." "Yeah," Tubbo breathes. "Yeah." And then he's laughing and crying at once. Rambo stands above him, but it's not a threat. He's back to a normal size, normal eyes. But that fierce protectiveness still lingers in his mind. Tubbo stumbles up, and Rambo catches him by the arms. "Are you sure that was... Oh." Tubbo hugs him. He's still shaking, his throat raw, and the height difference is slightly awkward, but Rambo hugs back. And it's perfect. It's right. There are no words for it. But Tubbo lets his mind show all he can't say. "You will never be alone again. You're stuck with me. Thank you." "Oh," Rambo breathes. And they laugh, shaky. "That was incredibly stupid, you know." "I blame the caffeine high," Tubbo says back. "Holy shit, holy shit." "Tubbo!" a voice yells, distance. And Rambo fools away with a chirp. "Tubbo!" And then Tommy is colliding with him so hard they fall to the ground in a tangle of limbs. Tubbo gets a mouthful of dirt, of ash, but he still hugs back just as fiercely. There on the remains of his father's grave, Tommy's arms around his shoulders are as much of an apology as any. Clarity has seeped into his mind, the sun after a clouded day. The night before is almost dreamlike, and they had argued, sure, but it was a long time coming, and Tubbo was not a stranger to cruel words, grief and anger blurred into one. "Hey there, big man," he says, and Tommy pulls away, still holding him by the shoulders. His face is devastated. Tubbo pats his cheek with paint-stained fingers. "I'm sorry," Tommy says. I know. Tubbo hugs him again. "I know. I'm sorry, too. You'll always be my best friend, you know." "Of course I do, you sap," Tommy sniffs. "Are you crying?" "No." Rambo laughs slightly from where they stand above them. And once the two of them are on their feet again, Tommy turns on them with a scowl. "And you," he says, before cutting himself off. Rambo gives an awkward wave. Yes? I guess you're okay," Tommy finishes, sulking. "Just don't fuck up." "Thank you?" Laughing, Tubbo closes his eyes. He still has to tell Tommy what exactly happened here. He still has to explain himself to Puffy, considering that he didn't leave with the utmost stealth. And they really should get out of this graveyard, before they're charged with arson and destruction of property. But he feels light. Free. It'll probably be worse in the morning, but things can only go up. "Oh," Tommy says, an odd emotion in his voice. "Also, don't be mad." Tubbo squints. "Oh, gods, what did you do?" "I may have told Wilbur and Phil about Rambo. But it's just because I was worried, and I needed help looking for you, and..." "Tom's... it's fine." Tubbo pinches the bridge of his nose. "I'll deal with it later." Silence lingers. Rainbow shrinks back, and Tommy hides what sounds like a laugh with a cough. Both their eyes are on something behind him, and Tubbo groans.
They're right behind me, aren't they?
Yeah, Tommy says sheepishly.
My bad.
A demon, a literal demon. Can you believe it, Phil? And holy shit, Tubbo, you look like hell.
Tubbo turns, and Phil and Wilbur are there. They look out of place in the graveyard, lit by fire and moonlight. They look tired as well, and Tubbo is abruptly reminded of how it is, in fact, midnight. But they're out here, looking for Tubbo. And while a part of him whispers that it's only for Tommy, they don't really care. A flash of coal is quick to stop the thought. They're here. After so long, they're here.
Hell can't hold me, bitch, he says. And yeah, this is Rambu.
Wilbur gapes for a moment, and then he reaches out, ruffles Tubbo's hair. I have so many questions, he says. But for now, let's get out of here, yeah?
Seconded, Phil says, pulling Tubbo in a hug.
I'm glad you're okay, mate.
And this family is messy, cracked at corners with hurt and grievances. But they care. And Tubbo basks in it, among the fire of his mistakes. They aren't going anywhere. And he's finally, finally, ready to let this place go.
I am... sorry about the prank, by the way, Rambu says to Wilbur, as they're walking past iron-wrought fences.
Wilbur freezes. Tommy bends over, cackling.
I didn't tell him that part yet, bitch!
And Tubbo grabs Rambu and Tommy's hands, pulling them into a run. He laughs. The fire grows distant. His mind meshes. His heart sings.
That was you?!
Yells from behind him. And Tubbo nearly falls from the force of his giggling. The night is young. He's more than ready to go home. The end. Thank you for listening.